On Sunday, February 19th, 2023, Bozeman Tenants United held a town hall meeting at Pilgrim Church in Bozeman, and four of the city commissioners attended the event to discuss the possibility of banning short-term rentals here in Bozeman.
All right, y'all, when I say tenant, you say power. Tenant!
Power.
Tenant!
Power.
When I say how's the, you say people. How's the?
People.
How's the? Tenant!
Power.
Tenant!
Power.
Right on. Pretty good at that. All right, first off, I want to thank the Pilgrim Congregational United Church of Christ building we're in for hosting us tonight. Give a hand for them. I also want to say that there was over 70 members of Bozeman Tenants United who played roles to make this event happen tonight. So please put your hands together for all of that work. And finally, I want to say welcome to the first ever Bozeman Tenants United Tenants Town Hall. This is a historic event, y'all. You're in the right place, so welcome. I'll be your MC tonight. My name is Emily. By day, I'm an auto care tech at an auto care center in town, and I'm a member and a leader with Bozeman Tenants United. Bozeman Tenants United is a multiracial, intergenerational, mass membership of tenants that is fighting to win safe, dignified, and truly affordable housing for everybody in Bozeman. How's that sound? I've lived in Bozeman almost my entire life. My family's lived here for about 50 years. Back in October, one of my sisters who lives here, her husband passed away from cancer, and she's now a mom of three young kids. Me and my parents play a huge role in helping her as she does transition to becoming a single mom. I cannot afford to get priced out of this valley. My family cannot afford for any of us to get priced out of this valley. But in May, my five roommates and I are going to find out if our rent goes up by hundreds of dollars like so many of our neighbors have. All right. In May, we'll find out if our landlord is going to turn our long-term rental into a short-term rental, into an Airbnb to make some extra cash. And we'll find out, all right, and we'll find out if we're being displaced. I am not okay with watching my hometown and the place where I have community and family turn into a sterile shell of itself. I am not okay with rich investors being prioritized over the people who live and work here, working families like mine that make the city run. I am here because I deeply believe in the power of working people coming together to create a new reality that none of us have gotten to experience yet, but all of us deserve. I want to briefly sort of tell you the story of how we got here. In 2020, people here, we talked to thousands of Bozemanites about the issues that matter the most to them and the people that they love. Unsurprisingly, almost all of them told us about housing. We talked to renters who were living paycheck to paycheck. We talked to people on fixed incomes who weren't able to pay their mortgages anymore. We talked to people living in the shelter. We talked to people living in trailer parks. And we talked to retirees who are, even though they've lived and worked here their whole lives, they're not sure if they can afford to stay. We talked to all of these Bozemanites who are struggling, like so many of us are, to get their basic need of shelter met. And I just want to say that over in Helena, where the state legislature is running right now, or tomorrow, they have only exacerbated the housing crisis for us. They've taken away a lot of Bozeman's ability to self-govern. Other cities in the country can pass their own rent control. Other cities around the country can mandate that developers have to build a certain amount of affordable housing. But our state legislature took that power away from Bozeman and other Montana cities. That ain't right. So I just want you to hold that thought about Helena. We're going to talk about them more later tonight and getting their paws out of Bozeman politics. So we know we have some limits on our city based on the legislature. So last year, we went about researching for months about what can we do, what can our city do to meaningfully address the housing crisis that's right here. We got data that wealthy investors are buying up hundreds of homes and turning them into short-term rentals, Airbnbs, VRBOs, for vacationers that are here sometimes, right? Well, they are making extra money doing short-term rentals. People who live and work here are getting pushed out or onto the streets. We have nothing against the long-term Bozeman homeowner that's trying to Airbnb an extra room in order to pay their mortgage. What we do take issue with, though, is some millionaire's investment portfolio displacing the people who call Bozeman home, right? So what do? We looked into some options of what other cities do. In 2018, Lake Tahoe passed a measure to ban short-term rentals. This opened up hundreds of short-term rentals where many people were immediately able to start renting. It also didn't impact the city's revenue from tourism. Other cities have passed things similar to this, and we know that Bozeman has the ability to do so also. We have data from Airbnb that there's over 1,600 Airbnbs in Gallatin County and over 500 in Bozeman. We know that a lot of these homes sit empty, and when they're filled with people in those neighborhoods, the vacationers who are staying there are not invested in this community. They don't care about their neighbors or what's going on in their neighborhood. It's destroying neighborhoods. We know that this banning short-term rentals will not be a silver bullet to end the housing crisis, but what it will do is open up a lot more housing immediately for people like me and people that I love who need housing right now. It'll make sure that landlords aren't able to raise the rent by hundreds of dollars because they know that we have somewhere else we can go. All right, so tonight we are going to hear a little bit more about the campaign and how we're also thinking about the state legislature. We're going to hear from Bozemanites decision makers, four city commissioners who are here. I also want to note that Jeff Mihalik is in this room. He's our city manager, in case you don't know. Like, he meets with all the commissioners at least once a week, probably one of the most powerful people who's not elected in the city. And we are also going to hear from tenants. And I want to say that when we're hearing tenants tell their stories, like what you've already heard in this room, I want to give you permission to express yourself. I know it's really hard for me being at the regular city commission meetings because you're not allowed to react. And I'm like, they're talking about things that affect my life and the lives of people that I love. So when you hear something that's not okay, that ain't right, feel free to say, that ain't right. When you hear somebody tell their story and they're sharing something that's hard, because right now we're talking about housing, and the reality of it is there's some dark stuff in there. There's some really difficult things that you're going to hear tonight. When you hear somebody share that, say, I got your back. All right, y'all good at this. Cool, cool, cool. If you have thoughts or questions that you want to tell directly to the four city commissioners who are here, they're going to go down the hall into the Emmett Room, where they will be available for public comment. This is technically a special city commission meeting because we have a majority of the city commissioners that are here in this room. Right, so you heard Jeff open this thing up earlier. I think it's pretty clear that you know the lawsuit happy developers are out of control when the city can't meet with tenants without it being an official government proceeding. But that's where we're at. I want to ask, since we have this amount of time, we've got an agenda, please be respectful When I'm speaking, when other tenants are speaking, when the commissioners are speaking, things get a little too rowdy. I'm going to say one mic, and I'll ask you to repeat back.
One mic.
That means listen to the person who has the microphone. Okay. In a minute, I'm going to intro one of Bozeman Tenants Union's leaders, Joey Morrison, to share a little bit about our specific campaign proposal. But I also want to say that in August, the commissioners started meeting with a focus group of short-term rental owners. We never really got an invite to join, but, you know, we're tenants, we're self-starters, we're hard workers, so we decided to do the work, do a lot of the research, and make sure that they heard from us, so that's what we're doing here tonight. And I'm going to invite Joey up to share a little bit more.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joey Morrison. I use he and him pronouns. Hi, everybody. My name is Joey Morrison. I use he and him pronouns. And by day, I pay my rent as a social worker, coordinating the overnight operations for our shelter for folks experiencing homelessness, the Warming Center at HRDC. I do have to give a quick disclaimer. My opinions are my own. They do not reflect the opinions of HRDC. They are my own thoughts and feelings. Just want to make sure that's clear. But even though that part of my life is, you know, that part really influences what I see and the values that I carry and how it informs the discipline and the organizing work that I do and the values that I carry. Over the last year, I've worked with many clients that are experiencing homelessness that are multi-generational Bozemanites with tens of thousands of dollars in their savings accounts. But they can't get into housing because they can't pass a background check, because they can't compete with a bunch of young professionals with shiny resumes and good credit. And they end up on the streets for years and years and years, even though they have thousands of dollars saved up, ready to move into housing. So that's just part of the story that I carry in why we do this work. But tonight, I am quite literally wearing my Bozeman Tenants United hat, not my Warming Center hat. We started about a year ago, as Em said, researching what are all of the options, what are all the tools at our disposal to help encourage the city or help research or help push the city to take really bold action to address the housing crisis. And we talked with bankers and lenders, we talked with developers, we talked with folks in political power, we talked to folks that are nonprofit experts at the local, state, and national level. And then we also saw that the city had just voted on their priorities for the next 2 years and saw short-term rentals were on there. So we felt a little opportunistic and wanted to kind of follow that momentum with them. Look at what can be done, what do other communities do, what's possible around short-term rentals, and what can be done here. Like, feasibly, what can be done with the powers that the City Commission has at their disposal. And so we had to learn what short-term rentals are, what the types are, and so I want to help us all get there. A short-term rental is any rental that's fewer than 28 days. So it's even a month-to-month rental that's like an apartment that you're living in as a renter, that's your only residence, that's not a short-term rental. Short-term rentals, think things like Airbnb, VRBO, a vacation rental, things like that. There's three different types. Type one is owner-occupied for the entire rental period, and it's like a private room in somebody's house. Like the original image of Airbnb. Somebody who's just like scrapping it together. You sit down and you have breakfast or something with the homeowner, and maybe it's kind of awkward. But that's like the original image of what short-term rentals, what Airbnb used to be. Type two is a bit more complicated. Basically, it just means that for the rental period that short-term renter is in there, the homeowner is not also occupying the unit. So that's like a duplex or like an ADU, like an in-law house in the backyard, something like that. But still at the end of the day, that means that owner has another place to live while the short-term renter is enjoying that vacation rental. Then type three are never owner-occupied. They are literally home hotels. They are homes that are just meant to make money rather than for somebody to live in. And at the center of Bozeman Tenants United's values is that if you work here, You deserve to live here. Plain and simple. And so we as a community are at a point where we need to make a choice. Are we going to continue down a path where the workers who come here and make this community run have to start commuting from Livingston, from Three Forks? The person who cuts my hair, they commute from Butte. They drive from Butte to cut hair. We have to make a choice to move away from that. We're already heading in that direction. So we need to start looking at really novel solutions. What can we be doing? And that's where we get to our campaign. When we started talking with type 1 short-term rental owners, that original image of an Airbnb, we actually found that a lot of folks are doing that out of desperation. They are doing that so that they can afford their mortgage, so they can keep up with property taxes, not because they don't want to do a long-term rental, or not because they don't want to just live in the house that they own. They are literally doing it to prevent their own displacement from the community in which they bought a house. So we dropped that entirely. We decided that actually doesn't make sense for us to, that's not our fight. That's not our fight to try to get rid of these. Folks that are using these are using them to stay here. They are part of this community. Types 2 and 3, because they are still eating up inventory, we want to see them go. We need those units to be opened up for us like today. And this actually came partially out of a conversation with a lender who was basically like, there's building inventory takes too long. There's nothing we can do. And I proposed, well, what if we just got rid of short-term rentals and suddenly, bam, we've got like all these units up. People can either sell them or they can long-term rent them. And he was like, well, I don't know why. That makes me uncomfortable. But that sounds okay. And so we started kind of moving forward with this. And we started researching the feasibility. What are other places that have done it? Like M talking about Lake Tahoe. And then we additionally started looking into subsidy plans that other communities have done, like using money in our current existing community housing fund, which is to the tune of about $1.2 million, to really surgically create subsidies and incentives for homeowners to convert that type 1 or type 2 short-term rental into a long-term rental. This idea actually got support when there was a work session on short-term rentals in August. Actually, the first person, unfortunately, who is not here, the first person to express support for that was Mayor Cindy Andrews, who first put it forward on the record, hey, I think we should look at converting short-term rentals into long-term rentals with money specifically in the Community Housing Fund. So we know that it's at least floating around as a reasonable idea. And there's communities that we've seen do things similar. And bam, suddenly that's one of the best ways that we can create inventory without having to build anything. You don't have to build anything at all. And all of those other building projects can still happen. And that might be the most surgical way for us to use that money. If it's only $200 or $300 per rental to make it into affordable, like 80% area median income, that's not the total rent. That's like the amount of subsidy that the city might have to foot. You can suddenly create 200 or 300 affordable units instead of what it's being used for right now, which is basically to wheel and deal with developers to help maybe encourage them or remove barriers for them to put more affordable units in their current projects. But we know that we need something like a ban on short-term rentals because it further pushes back at the idea that homes are to make money off of. Homes are a part of an investment portfolio. Getting rid of them means that that option gets taken away, because right now, if we just create more inventory, it's inventory for who? There's no reason to suggest that us locals are not just going to get out-purchased by somebody who sees that home as an investment opportunity, or someone who wants their third or fourth home to come and visit and ski in the winter or fly fish in the summer. So we know that we need something to push back against that, and removing this as a speculative option is a big step in that direction of making homes about locals, about living in. So that's sort of a wrap on what our campaign is, how we got here. We are in the middle of a housing crisis, and we need our elected officials to really treat it that way. And they're exploring options and things like that, but we're not going to solve this crisis with incremental 10% of a project is affordable where here and there we're incrementally moving the needle in the right direction, all the while folks are traveling from Whitehall to pour beers here in Bozeman. And we know that that means we can't just continue using the same tools that we've used forever. We have to get bold. We have to get innovative. And we want to find out tonight, what is it going to take? What do we need to help to see to finally see that boldness take flight? You're about to hear some really powerful stories from tenants and renters here in this room. And think about these rooms opening up when you hear their stories. Think about how different some of these experiences could be if we had already made some of these decisions happen. Thanks, y'all.
I'm going to invite up in a moment Brianna, who is a leader with Bozeman Tenants United, to share her story. Actually, you can start walking up. I'll come talk about you. And I just want to say that so many of us are made to feel as though we're very alone when we're experiencing this housing crisis. And the truth is that alone, you really probably can't do very much about it. But when we tell our stories, we remind each other that we're all actually feeling this. And the thing that we're fighting against is actually systemic. Cool. We got your back, Brianna.
Thank you. Hi, I am Brianna Hope. I'm a single mother of three. I have lived here in Bozeman for 10 years now. When I moved here, I had good rental history. I even had management companies tell me that I could come back and rent from them anytime. Online research told me that there were a lot of job openings and many places available to rent, and I've lived in many different states before with less to work with. So I packed up and moved here. I was unprepared for the unusual dynamic here in Bozeman. It was very hard to get an appointment to see rentals, and you have to see them before they will rent to you. Then you have to have perfect credit and make more than three times the amount of the rent, which I've never made. Then, by the time I'd get an application filled out and turned back in, the unit was already rented to someone else. In order to go see the units, I would have to take time off work, lowering my income and jeopardizing my job when it happened over and over again. Then, when I'd finally get a place, I would live there a short time, and they would kick me out so they could double the rent, and I would have a month to pack us all up and start the whole process over again. My daughter and I have ended up living in my van more than once because of these rental practices, even in the snow. I have even offered to pay the doubled rate, but I don't qualify to pay the doubled amount, so they would rather kick me out than give me a chance. Each time, I would have to pay exorbitant fees to have the carpet professionally cleaned. I was talking to my mother, and we thought maybe it would help solve both of our problems if she sold her house and we bought one here together. If I own the house, they can't kick me out, right? And she would have help when she needs it since her kidneys are failing. Only in Bozeman, she doesn't qualify for Medicaid, and none of the other insurances that she can afford seem to cover dialysis. So when she needs to go on it, she will just have to wait to die slowly and painfully. I have to work at least three jobs to pay the house payment and the HOA fees here. But it is still less than what I was paying for the rent before. The only problem is that now that my mother's living with me and I'm working the extra jobs to pay for housing, I no longer qualify for Medicaid, for my daughter or any other benefits or assistance, because they do not take the cost of housing and food into account. My jobs don't offer insurance, so I cannot afford insurance either. I found out it would actually be cheaper to pay for life insurance to try to help my mother and daughter live for at least a year if I should die suddenly from working so much than to pay for medical insurance. We are not the only family in this position. I worked at a storage facility for a while, and most of the new tenants were retirees losing their homes before because the taxes had risen too high for them to pay them on a fixed income. And low to middle income families that ended up homeless due to the extremely high rise in costs. I even spoke of the nurse that moved here with a hiring bonus to work at the hospital because they are so short of nurses, but she wasn't going to be able to stay because she could not find housing here. When you have been homeless, people think you are lazy and irresponsible, but that is just not always the case, especially here in Bozeman. I am willing to work hard, but how long can I maintain this pace? And every single parent I know here has to maintain multiple jobs just to make it here. But if all the low-income families move away, what will happen? If we, as a community, cannot find ways to solve these problems, then the community will continue to fall apart. How can Bozeman function with nothing but high-end college graduates? Will the rich people in this town run the gas stations and the restaurants? Work in the hospitals and the doctor's offices? We have already seen it happening with longer lines everywhere and restaurants closing random days and nights or closing for good because they could not keep employees to work there. People can't work indefinitely without a roof over their heads. Trust me, it's no easy feat. What happens when the low-paying jobs keep trying to make more to get employees, and then they have to charge more, and the cost of living keeps rising and making it harder and harder for the low- and middle-class families to manage here? Is it right that out-of-town investors can buy up properties here and jack up the rates and the cost of living and push the retirees out who have lived here their whole lives? These investors just see dollar signs. They do not see the wonderful town this used to be or the amazing people that make up the community here. What is happening to our community is directly related to these issues. Last summer, I worked up to 6 jobs at one time to try to help my family and stay out of debt, but also to help my friends manage to take a much-needed vacation since there were no employees to cover for them if they took time off. How long can our town survive this way? A town has to have workers to survive. But we have a record number of homeless here right now due to the housing issues. People are moving away in droves, but it is the workers and the retired that are having to move because we can't afford to live here anymore. It is time to make some changes before it is too late. Thank you.
Thanks, Brianna. We got your back. Oh, look at that. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing your story, Brianna. I know it's hard to talk about. I know it's hard to hear. But when Joey's like up here, you know, like when we talk about the numbers that are involved with this, when we talk about the money that's involved, the thing that no one in this room can forget is that it's people. It's people like Brianna. I'm going to bring us back to talking about the state legislature in Helena. They've been in session. They've been passing a lot of bills. They've been passing drill bills that are really awful for a lot of our trans siblings, right? We know that in the past, they've passed bills that literally take away the power for cities in Bozeman to govern themselves. We know that right now the state legislature is talking about one bill, SB 268, that would protect short-term rentals that are adjacent to the house that the owner lives in. So basically, it would protect some short-term rentals, but not most. So even if this bill does pass, we know that we can still ban most short-term rentals here. So that is not an excuse for the city not to do what we know we need to have happen now, which is to ban short-term rentals because people need housing right now. I also want to say that we don't know what the state legislature is going to do. Next week or in the next few weeks, they could pass some really bad bills. They could pass a law that makes it really, really hard or jeopardizes our ability to run this campaign. So I want you all to take out the pledge card that was on your seat when you sat down. Here's what it says. State Action Pledge. If the Montana State Legislature is seriously considering legislation that will undermine our campaign to ban short-term rentals, I pledge to take action in Helena with Bozeman Tenants United. If you're down for that, I'll invite you to start filling it out. I also want to say that Bozeman Tenants United is going to call the shot on this. Right now, we're in the clear. Right now, there's no legislation that seriously undermines our campaign to ban short-term rentals. If that happens, we will let you all know, and we will mobilize, and we will show up in force in Helena. And let me just say, renters run this state. I don't think the legislators in Helena have ever really experienced tenant power before. So we'll bring this to them. All right, so if you're filling out this card, if you're like, yeah, I'm down when the time comes, if we need to move, if we need to take action at the state legislature, I'm down, give a little shout. Okay, we're ready. Sounds good. At this moment, I want to invite up another one of our tenant leaders in Bozeman Tenants United, Leota. And I just want to say that it would be really wrong. I think it'd be really wrong for people in this room who make decisions about our city to make these decisions without hearing from the people they affect most, right? All right. Give it up for Leota.
Okay. So, hello. So, as many of you know, my name is Leota Kelsey. I have lived in the Bozeman area my whole life. I have suffered from homelessness twice. The first time, I was 15 years old. After that, we lived in hotels. I eventually went to go stay with my partner at the time. He abused me horribly in ways I won't go into today, but because of that, I moved into Bozeman with a friend for a short period. Then I moved into a car that did not run until we fixed up a shed in my grandmother's yard for me to live in. After that, my grandma soon lost her home as well. She lost her home due to a vendetta that the property manager had in the trailer park she lived in. She had lived there for 45 years. When my grandma had her home taken, my family had to move too. This made three of our four living generations homeless. I lived with friends for a while until it didn't work out anymore, and at 17, I moved into my car. I am grateful that I only had to spend about 3 months in my car, but nobody should face that at 17. My parents got a place 1 week before I found out I was pregnant. I was 1 month into my senior year of high school. I then lived with my parents until they, too, lost their home. They lost their home because of another problematic landlord at a different trailer park. The owner had wanted my parents to pay for a year of rent that they did not live there. The previous owners did not pay that previous year of rent, and even the courts had decided that my parents did not owe him that money. But after the courts decided that, he decided to make it his mission to get us out. He would try to get my parents for violations for just about anything. He tried to go after our ESA animals and accuse my parents of things. The thing that got my parents evicted was having four vehicles on their property for less than 24 hours. We had just gotten a new car and sold our old one in less than a day, but that was all that he needed. The same day that my family was given the notice of violation, there was another trailer that had multiple vehicles outside. That trailer home had several trailers, snowmobiles, four-wheelers, and dirt bikes, all of which were specifically not allowed in the lease. But my family got the notice, and my family was kicked out. A loss of over $15,000 in investments, an investment to keep a roof over our heads and make it ours, an investment to have our own home. I was then homeless with my almost two-year-old daughter. It was April 2nd of 2021 when my parents were kicked out and we were all homeless again. For a few months, my parents paid for the hotel rooms until they couldn't afford it anymore. After that, I personally spent $3,000 on 15 nights of hotels here in Bozeman. My daughter and I still had to spend 2.5 weeks sleeping in our car in the hot summer. Averaging 90 to 95 degrees at night, we went to my Ford. We didn't fit in the back seat together, so I slept in the front seat. The car has leather seats, and with the heat, it felt like I was glued to them. Wondering if it was safe to leave my windows open during the night, despite the heat. How did I know the semi parked on the side of me was going to be safe? I had a two-year-old. My parents parked on one side, but I can never be too sure with all of the others around me. I was 19. I was forced to stay in my car because I had been accepted to an apartment and I had to save my money in order to get in. This is the reality for too many people, and I was a lucky one. Despite my luck, my low-income rental is now $1,126 a month, with an income cap of $41,760 before taxes. That's only $31,680 after taxes. Even before the rent increase, it was 39% of my take-home income for a low-income apartment. There are countless people who have been homeless for 2, 3, 4 years who have paid hundreds, if not thousands, on application fees, yet they still don't have a home, and that's what kills me. My parents are still homeless, and at this point have just made a plan to fix up their RV. They work full-time, and my mother also watches my daughter while I work. My mother has spent almost her entire life here, and it is terrifying for me to think that that is the plan people are making, especially people who have called this their home for almost half a century. For homeless to fix up an RV to live out of because they have no other choice or option. All I can ask is why. Why? Because the cost of housing is unreachable for the working class. A lot of these people are working multiple jobs, yet they're still suffering every single day. There are people who go hungry in Bozeman, all within a 10-mile radius, and that is terrifying to me. People are being forced to choose between basic needs and housing, let alone the things that would help them enjoy their lives. We only have one life, and we just want to be able to enjoy it and have a roof over our heads. We deserve to have a place to live for a reasonable price. We are the people doing essential jobs. There would be nowhere for tourists to eat if there was no restaurants and nobody to work them. There would be nobody to stock shelves or pay for your gas if you have cash. Nobody to pick up garbage and deliver our mail. We already don't. No one to fix our cars in a timely manner. Nobody to clean the hotels that the tourists stay in, and nobody to run the downtown boutiques. If we want to keep our economy and our city, we need people to work in it, and those people need housing too.
We got your back, Leota. Wow. I love being in a room of tenants. I just want to say that if we win this campaign, if we end the stranglehold of short-term rentals on our housing market, the fight will still not be over, right? Right? We still have abusive landlords. We still have negligent, predatory management companies. The city can do more. We've got the state legislature, of course. This is just the first campaign. I want to say that later tonight, I'll tell you a little bit more how you can get involved, how you can become a member, how you can, like, put your time and your energy into this. And right now, I want to ask for financial contributions. We're going to pass the hat in a moment, and I just want to say that Bozeman Tenants United has no staff. We do everything on volunteer labor and power, which is cool. The cost of this event was about $4,000, including like renting things out, equipment, printing things, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, right? Super cool. So if you are able to offer anything in the hat as it comes around, cash or checks, we make checks out to Bozeman Tenants United. Our Venmo is BZN_URJ. BZN_URJ. If you want to make a donation tonight. In just a moment, we are going to have the four commissioners who are here be sitting on a panel for our three panelists. All right, y'all, we are about to get into the very active part of the night. We're a little tight here on the stage, but that's cool. We're all good with being cozy. We're about to hear from four out of the five city commissioners. Four out of the five people who have the power to actually vote on what we were talking about earlier tonight, banning short-term rentals. We are missing Mayor Cindy Andrus. We're bummed. We're disappointed that she declined to be here. I also just want to say, maybe raise your hand if you've ever felt confused when listening to an elected official answer a yes or no question. Interesting. Okay. With the number of hands, turns out you're not stupid. Oftentimes, elected officials use vague language so that they don't have to be accountable, right? So, I'm going to introduce a little tool that is being passed around right now so we can make sure that we are all quite clear about how the commissioners are answering our questions. So, if you already have them, raise up the green sign. Okay, we're going to raise up the green signs when we hear the commissioners answer yes to any of our questions. Just so we're all clear. They answer yes, pop that sign up. All right, now y'all hold up the red signs. Okay, we're going to hold these up when we hear the commissioners tell us a very clear no. Just make sure we're all on the same page. Finally, hold up the waffle. All right, you know, sometimes they get a little like unclear, they're kind of waffling on their answer. So feel free to hold that up when you're like, listen, y'all didn't give us a clear answer. And because so many people have sacrificed a lot to be here tonight, I think if you see a lot of those waffles come up in order to honor the time that your constituents have taken to be here, I would recommend you adjust and you give a clear answer, okay? I also want to say that these signs are not to express how you're feeling. You can do that verbally, right? The signs are just so that we're clear with each other and with the commissioners of what we heard them say. Yes, no, waffle. As our panelists of incredible tenant leaders in Bozeman Tenants United ask the questions, as soon as you hear an answer, pop up your sign. If you don't know if you're right, that's okay. Like, if you're confused, probably we're all confused, right? So just put up an answer as soon as you hear it. Sounds good? Okay. I'll turn it over to Olive to ask the first question.
Hi.
Oh, sorry. One last thing. As the commissioners are doing this, we have our incredible leader over here, Sally, playing Vanna White tonight. And she's just going to be tracking their answers based on the answer we all agree that they answered. So we're all clear and we have some accountability. Sound good? All right. Sorry, Olive. Take it away.
Awesome. My name is Olive. I work in a photo and print framing shop. And I'm also an organizer and a leader with Bozeman Tenants United. I'm here today because while I've had my own struggles with finding and keeping housing in Bozeman, I feel like I'm the lucky one because I'm here today. Unlike the friends, the coworkers, and the teachers that I've seen be priced out of Bozeman. I'm here tonight because when canvassing outside of Walmart, I've seen families carrying moving boxes. They're leaving town. They were just priced out. I've met a father with a son who, when I asked about their experience with housing, told me, straight to my face, looking at me right in the eyes, "We don't have a home." And they've been staying in a hotel for the last year. That ain't right. There are too many folks that are not here tonight because they've already been displaced because this is a crisis. And yeah, that's why I'm here tonight, and that's why I organized with Bozeman Tenants United. I just wanted to let the commissioners know that we have a limited time for this panel, about 40 to 45 minutes. And so we ask that your questions be around 4 minutes, or that your answers to our questions be around 4 minutes long. And if I or one of the other panelists interrupt you, we apologize for our rudeness, but it's just out of respect for everyone here's time. But yeah, I guess I'll take it away with our first question, which you can follow up here. Commissioner Coburn, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning Type 3 short-term rentals?
Yes, I will.
Well, wow, that was a very, very clear answer. will you commit to holding a vote on this by May 8th after the legislative session?
No, I don't. There's so many, I think it was clear, I said no. So the red sign, it's a clear no. I will not commit to having a vote by May 8th because the way that our commission agenda works, I don't get to decide when we have a vote on something. And it's unfair of us to sort of ask staff who are working on 1,000 projects that I agree are not at the level of crisis, not all of them are the same crisis as the housing crisis, but are important to the functioning of the city, that we schedule out months and months in advance. What I will commit to do is to make sure, along with my colleagues, that we have a conversation and we do have a vote on what we're doing with short-term rentals by the end of the summer, which is the time that we all have been talking about. So, yeah, no on May 8th, but I will commit to making sure that I do what I can to get this before the commission.
I hear you. This has been an issue that's been in front of the city since August, and this has been of interest to us for a really long time, and so we urge you guys to vote sooner than the end of the summer, specifically May 8th. But I hear what you're saying about city staff, and so will you commit to directing the city to begin research on a full ban of Type 3 short-term rentals by Tuesday, February 28th? That's like in about a week and a half.
I mean, yeah, I've already asked our staff through our city manager to begin researching. We have been doing research, and that's something that when we had our work session, I think it was at the end of the summer, we did give clear direction to our staff that we wanted to see the impact of Type 3 rental restrictions, what that would look like, what it would take, what kind of policy that could be. So, yeah, and I have.
Awesome. So my understanding is that the city is not researching a total ban on Type 3 Airbnbs, so kind of minus just the regulation, but a total ban. So I guess I would ask you again to commit to directing the city to begin research on a full ban.
I will request it again, yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, I appreciate it. Yeah. So moving on to Deputy Mayor Cunningham. Deputy Mayor Cunningham, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning Type 3 short-term rentals?
My answer would be no. The reason for that is that we are in the middle of a process. The commission outlined a number of priorities at the beginning of our term. We identified short-term rentals. You all have picked up on that. You've chosen to research that and bring together the tenants' union. We are in the process of doing that. We have given specific direction to city staff. We have asked them to step up enforcement. We have asked them to increase our software. We have asked them...
I'm sorry, Deputy Mayor. If we could just focus on the Type 3 ban right now. Do you support the idea of a full ban on Type 3 short-term rentals?
We have asked, and I have it in writing, from City Manager Mihalik. At the work session, there was support for a potential ban on Type 3 STRs.
I guess I'm asking you personally if you support a total ban.
At this point, we are in the middle of working through this issue. So I cannot commit to you today that I'm going to support a full ban. And it's, I think it's unfair to ask us in the middle of our process to develop how we're going to vote at the end of this process.
So I think that I'm going to move on then. I kind of hear that as a no, a very clear no. I think for Sally, yeah, no to support. And then will you commit to holding a vote on this by May 8th after the legislative session?
One of the reasons that we elected not to have our next work session is because as soon as something like this percolates, that a local government is thinking of doing this, all of a sudden we start seeing legislation that
yes.
says no. So we elected to move the work session until after the May 8th session, and then we're going to move to the next step.
So I hear that you agree with Commissioner Coburn that it should be later in the summer.
I agree.
I also see that as a no. But will you commit to directing the city to begin research on a full ban of Type 3 rentals?
I believe we have
rentals.
Already.
Okay. Would you mind asking again? Because it's unclear as to whether or not they have, / I don't think they have.
Okay, absolutely.
Thank you.
And may I point out, I am absolutely open to the possibility of a Type 3 ban.
Awesome.
We are just not there yet.
I hear you. Yeah. Commissioner Pomeroy, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning Type 3 short-term rentals?
I don't think you will like my answer because our city is planning to have a session after lawmakers finish. So that time we are fully, we are going to discuss. So I will express
I
my answer that time.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I understand that. Also, we've been thinking, I assume you guys have been thinking about this. We've definitely been thinking about this since August. And so that's a lot of time to think about if you support a ban on Type 3 short-term rentals. Do you fully support a ban on Type 3 short-term rentals?
That time I will discuss. But Ms. Olive, can I mention one thing before I answer your question? I have a small, very small business. So I have a small crew employees. I really understand tonight your testimony, and I am speechless because, believe or not, I've been hearing that kind of testimony a lot through to my employees. So definitely,
yes.
I'm in your side. But right now, here, I will follow our city's or decision. And then you will attend
it. I see
yes.
a lot of waffles in the crowd, so I think that people are confused as to whether or not you support this. I'm going to say that you don't right now because we're not really getting a clear answer
okay.
from you.
That's
and
fine
you can't
if you
say
decide
that you can
that
support
way.
It. Do you support voting on this on May 8th after the legislative session?
I agree with Commissioner Corbin and the Deputy Mayor.
Awesome.
I will follow our city's whole decisions.
And
thank
in
you.
Respect for the research process, will you commit to directing the city to begin research on a full ban of Type 3 short-term
Definitely,
rentals?
Yes.
Awesome. Great. Let's get a round of applause for that. Commissioner Magic, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning Type 3 short-term rentals?
Yes, and I'm going to add a couple of things because I think it's important to recognize that we currently have a ban on Type 3 in all our residential districts. We do not in our commercial districts. And if you think about it, in our commercial districts, a short-term rental could be like a hotel. That's kind of what a hotel is, a short-term rental. So you have to be kind of careful just to, you know, how you... so.
Thank you. Yeah, we hear you. And thank you for supporting a ban. Will you commit to holding a vote on this by May 8th?
No, for the same reasons previously stated.
I hear you. And will you commit to directing the city to begin research on a full ban of Type 3 short-term rentals?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, so I'm just going to kind of recap what I've heard tonight, and if you guys have any disagreements with what we heard, please say them now. I hear that Commissioner Coburn does support a Type 3 ban, has committed to vote, and like all the city commissioners, does not want to vote on it by May 8th. I hear that Deputy Mayor Cunningham, as of now, does not support a ban of Type 3 short-term rentals, but does support research. I hear that Commissioner Pomeroy cannot support a ban of Type 3 short-term rentals and does not support a vote. And I hear that Commissioner Magic has committed to vote yes on banning Type 3 short-term rentals, but is not committed to a vote. And all commissioners have voted yes, and they will be asking the city manager to begin research on banning Type 3 short-term rentals. Yeah, let's have a round of applause for that. All right, and now I'm just going to pass the mic on to Amelia.
You are listening to the Bozeman Tenants United Town Hall that was held on Sunday, February 19th of 2023 at Pilgrim Church in Bozeman on KGVM Bozeman, 95.9 FM and KGVM.org online.
Hi, thank you for being here and listening and answering our questions for us. Just as an intro, many of the questions will be the same that Olive has been asking, but for Type 2 rentals. A little about myself first. My name is Amelia. I am a divorced mother of a 13-year-old son. We have lived in the Gallatin Valley since 2012. There's too much to share about my experience in a short amount of time and in this moment, but I've had the same job as a baker at the same place with the same boss, with increasing pay for the last 6.5 years. And in that same amount of time, I've moved 6 times. So 5 of those moves were out of logistical and financial necessity. And that makes it difficult as a parent to fully, to be the parent that I want to be. And I know, as we heard from Brianna and Leota, that is not uncommon here. So that's why I'm here tonight to talk with you guys. So transitioning to the Type 2 ban discussion, it will be the same line of questioning. Commissioner Coburn, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning Type 2 short-term rentals?
I will not commit to that vote. And here's why. Type 2 rentals are a little bit different than Type 3 with relation to people who live in Bozeman currently living on that property as well. And so I think that there's not enough, I don't know enough about what the impacts of that would be on the people who live in Bozeman's financial situation. So I'm definitely open to learning more about it, but okay, will not commit to voting to ban those tonight.
All right. Do you support a full ban on Type 2 short-term rentals, different from voting?
I could. Right now, I don't have enough information to say yes or no, but I could get there once I understand the impacts on the property owners.
Okay. So will you commit to directing the city to begin research on a full ban of those Type 2s? I think I skipped a question. My apologies.
That's okay. yes, I will commit to doing that.
Okay, great. And then I'll reverse back to the last question. Will you commit to holding a vote on this by May 8th?
No.
And I think can I assume that you already answered that question in the previous line of questioning?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Cunningham, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning Type 2 short-term rentals?
No. We are in the middle of a process.
Yep.
So it's unusual that you're asking us to research something.
Sure.
And then tell us how we're going to vote on it. There's a lot of different things that different cities have done to attack this issue. So I I cannot commit tonight that I'm going to support it.
So the more appropriate question would be, do you support the idea of a full ban of type 2 short-term rentals?
I do.
Okay. And so I will skip question 3 since we've already had that answered. will you commit
to... I think we had some confusion there. Can we clarify? So there's not support or there is? Type 2?
So I've said that I'm not going to commit tonight of how I'm going to vote for a process that is ongoing. I think it cheapens the process, and I think it discounts public participation.
True. But at the end you said, but you do support what you said. That's where we go. Right at the end.
Could I see myself doing that eventually? Yes, yeah. I could see myself doing that eventually. Cool.
Thank you for
so
the
clarification. Still a no, Sally, I think, yeah.
Thank you for the clarification. So will you commit to directing the city to continue or begin their research on a full ban of those type 2 rentals by Tuesday, February 28th?
Tuesday, February 28th? No.
Yeah. Okay. Do you commit to directing them to begin in the next month?
So our next work session,
mm-hmm.
we don't independently get together and direct the city manager to do things unless okay. there's a meeting about it as properly noticed, et cetera. So when we have our next work session, that's when we have the opportunity to direct staff. And that's when I think possibly commissioners mm-hmm. might be able to direct staff to research a ban on that.
Okay. When is the next work session, may we ask?
So it'll likely be right after the session.
So after the May 8th session.
After the legislative session.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Pomeroy, will you commit to vote yes on fully banning type 2 short-term rentals?
No. At first time, I'd like to see the type 3 ban and then one at a time. And then I'd like to see the type 2. So right now, my answer will be no.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you're welcome. And so would you support the idea of a full ban of type 2 short-term rentals?
Right now, I do not know.
So, you do not know?
No, yes. I need to see more info, and I need more study. Thank you.
Okay. So I think right now we might take that as a no. Okay. And then, again, I will skip the third question. And you will commit, and then will you commit to directing the city to begin or continue research on the type 2 rentals by the 28th or by the next by the end of the legislative session? Excuse me.
I cannot commit at the date because I do not have any control. So. Okay. We understand, and then our city does the best. But right now, I cannot commit the date. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And Commissioner Magic?
Yeah.
Just going through the same line of questions. Will you commit to vote yes on fully banning type 2 short-term rentals?
No. Mm-hmm. And I want to explain real quick. Mm-hmm. I have had friends in town with type mm-hmm. 2. Who have used it just to make it in this town. So I want more information.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So do you support a full ban on type 2 short-term rentals at all in the future?
Possibly.
Okay. So we'll take that as a no for the time being. And will you commit to directing the city to begin research or continue research on a full ban of type 2 short-term rentals?
Yes, because I think we are doing that. We're in the process of mm-hmm. investigating all the options, so I think that's happening.
Okay. All right, thank you for your time and answering our questions.
That's great. We're here to clarify at the end, make sure at the end we've got all the answers that you guys are down with. And just to clarify, that research is asking the city staff to begin research, right? Not having all the research done by, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
All right, so everyone does commit to research, yes.
And to clarify, I really believe that we have asked staff already to do this research.
Our understanding, based off of some emails with the commissioners, is that they have not began the research, and we just ask that you ask them again. But we do appreciate the previous requests of staff to do that, but I think that it would be good to ask again. And that's why we're having this meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you again, and I'm going to pass it on to Bill.
Thank you, Amelia. Good evening, commissioners, and again, welcome. We appreciate your being here tonight. My name is Bill. I do have some Montana roots. My grandparents were homesteaders in the Judith Basin a century ago. I was born and raised on our family farm in central Illinois, but I moved here happily to Bozeman 12 years ago to enjoy the great outdoors and to study at MSU. I'm a researcher and a writer. I've been a renter here the entire time I've lived in Bozeman, and I am very troubled by how Bozeman is trending. I think a lot of other people are too. So the underlying question is, which side are you on, commissioners? You'll make allowance for me. In a few months, I'll be 70 years old, so my patience for bobbing and weaving is less than it used to be. So. Also, I want to point out that this is an intergenerational movement, and I am proud and humbled to be in union with folks who want a better Bozeman. I think we all do. So, commissioners, what is our Bozeman community going to become? A playground for outside investors and developers, the well-off and the self-satisfied? Or a welcoming, caring, inclusive community that offers everyone a helping hand up? So more to the point, I'm going to ask the same question of each of you. And since, again, I only have 4 or 5 minutes to question each of you, I ask you in advance to be clear and succinct in your answers. Here's a starting question. Will you commit to voting yes on using the city's existing housing fund to subsidize homeowners, not developers, to convert short-term rentals to affordable long-term housing? Commissioner Coburn, please.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to commit to having a vote on that. I happen to have different views about the best use of our community housing fund that I would like to explore further. So I don't think I'm going to. No.
No, but more generally speaking, can you see yourself supporting a subsidy like that in the near future or down the road?
Probably not from the community housing fund. I could see us using one example. If we had some version of short-term rentals where we increased the fees, I could see us exploring different ways of providing a subsidy, and also, but I don't think the fund is where I'm interested in seeing that come from.
So, secondly, I was going to ask you if you would commit to holding a vote on this proposition by May 8th, after the state legislative session ends. I've heard more than one of you say that's maybe a little problematic process-wise. So in lieu of that, and process can be important sometimes, I do want to get a sense from you of whether you will. I don't know how you could listen to Brianna and Leota's stories tonight and not be willing to make a time-bound commitment. Hopefully, it sounds like by the end of August, to vote on making this change in the housing fund?
So that we will have a vote on short-term rental policy. To the extent that we will have a vote specifically on how we use our community housing fund, generally it happens when we do our budgeting process, which happens in June, so it will come up. I don't know if it's going to be a vote, so I can't commit to saying we're going to vote on how to use that fund, but we will be talking about it by the end of the summer.
Okay. That doesn't sound like a firm commitment.
It's definitely not a firm commitment. Nope, definitely not.
Okay. Well, in light of that, will you at least commit to directing the city manager to start research on this change in the housing fund in the next week to 10 days?
We have already done that. So our city manager and our staff have been researching and talking about what incentive it would take for people to transition. So I will support the staff continuing to look at what that could look like.
That's a clear yes on the research question. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Cunningham, same question. Will you commit to voting on using the city's existing housing fund to subsidize homeowners, not developers in sweetheart deals, to convert short-term rentals to affordable long-term housing?
No, and let me tell you why. On Friday, there was House Bill 430 that proposes to do exactly what you're talking about, but using revenue from STR funds from the state to do that. So we would create a fund. It would be 0.25% that would go into a pool to do exactly what you're talking about. That bill was brought forth this Friday at 9:00. I testified in favor of doing that. So essentially, I voted yes for doing that, but through a different mechanism. I can also tell you that I was the only person in this room who testified for that. Others may not have been aware of it.
So that would come from state funding?
It would come from the fees paid into the STR for state funding allocated to individual communities. So it would be accomplishing what you're looking to do, which is to create a fund that would subsidize
homeowners
to create short-term rentals into long-term rentals.
To create more affordable housing.
Create more affordable housing. So that's House Bill 430. I can also tell you that our economic development team testified in favor. Our lobbyist testified in favor. Our County Commissioner Zach Brown testified in favor that this is a statewide initiative, but almost three-quarters of all the public comment came from right here in Gallatin County.
That's encouraging. I have very low expectations for this state legislature. What are the prospects?
It was brought by a Republican legislator.
So you're optimistic?
From Gallatin County.
Okay. That sounds encouraging. I guess it's we're on to...
And I got a big red one for that. Yep. There you go. For being the only person to testify in this room for that. Okay. And I got a big red one. Does that tell you anything?
Okay. And you're yes on the research?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Pomeroy.
Thank you.
Will you commit to voting yes on using the city's existing housing fund to subsidize homeowners, not developers, to convert short-term rentals to affordable long-term housing?
No. My answer is the same. But I want to say one more thing. Last year, during our budget session, it's a whole June, Deputy Mayor Cunningham suggested our affordable housing fund, $3 million to $5 million, and especially Commissioner Coburn, and we all commissioners voted us say yes. So I really say thankful, and right now we have money, $3 million to $5 million affordable housing because of Commissioner Cunningham and Commissioner Coburn and all our commissioners. So anyway,
So I appreciate what you're doing in the State House to try to address this. That doesn't excuse you from being clear and deciding to change our local housing fund. So
let me remind you that local housing fund,
yes,
is the fund that helped create the shelter, the warming shelter, because they needed funds to convert it from a daycare facility to one that had sprinklers and exit signs and stuff like that. Boulevard Apartments, we kept 41 at-risk disabled seniors from getting kicked out into the street by putting $500,000 from the Community Housing Fund into there. That same fund helped create the project that has Family Promise, that has Community Health Partners, and has 232 affordable units behind Lowe's. That's the type of magnitude and that fund is intended for.
I think it's pretty clear that we support all of your efforts on the state. I think it's really clear that we support all of your local efforts to get affordable housing. And this isn't meant to be a personal attack on any of you. It's just that we need to be clear about where you lie on our campaign so we can move forward accordingly and so that you can move forward accordingly. This is not a personal attack.
But let's move forward with
talking about this. Governor, elected officials, you are open to public criticism when you are elected. Don't sit there and laugh. We are giving you our opinions and what we want from you. So how dare you sit there and laugh? It's disrespectful. You are not.
I don't hate you as a human being. You're doing your best like the rest of us. I'm angry because I can't eat and I can't afford to live. So where is the help?
Right on. All right, I'm gonna take us back to one mic, but also true. And just as a reminder, you have time to comment and talk directly to the commissioners after in the Emmett room. Thank you,
Commissioner Pomeroy. I just want to be sure you support starting the research.
Yes,
which sounds like is in process.
Yes,
and you also agree with some urgency. Because I'm hearing urgency from this group to prioritize affordable housing and in a time-bound fashion. Sounds like by the end of August, at the latest, taking action beyond research.
Yes, I know we don't have that much time, but can I talk 1 minute?
Please be brief.
Yes, last 3 years, 22,000 people moved in Montana, and the thing is, housing is not fast enough building right now. Our city, believe it or not, does everything and has been addressed. Our affordable housing is our city is one of our priorities. And then we have it's not a lot. Last week, city commissioner meeting, we approved Cloverleaf's northeast urban renewal area 14 affordable housing. And also, especially thank you to Commissioner Coburn, all our commissioners say yes, when we sold Firehouse 1, it had to be affordable housing.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So 50 units.
Thank
and
you.
Here and there, and also Shiloh is 100 affordable housing
thank
units.
You.
It's not a lot,
We've
but little by
on.
Little, we are going to have affordable housing. We do our best. Thank you.
Thank you. Last but not least, Commissioner Magic, will you commit to voting yes in a time-bound fashion, hopefully by the end of August, on using the city's existing housing fund to subsidize homeowners, not sweetheart deals with developers, and I heard what you said, but I think there's still, I don't know why that money goes to developers to try to induce them to do what clearly the community needs. So will you commit in time-bound fashion to convert short-term rentals to affordable long-term housing as a local matter and under your own local authority and power?
To use the subsidy, no. And I'd like to explain why. Big Sky has such a subsidy, but they also have a local option sales tax.
so they have a consistent stream of money to help fund such a thing. I support a local option sales tax. It's on luxury items. I'm concerned with the subsidy program that some long-term renters, homeowners are getting considerable rates for their rentals per month. So I'm concerned of giving a subsidy in such a case. So I want more information.
So I know a vote by May 8th may be problematic for you and the others, but will you commit to holding a vote in a time-bound fashion? Sounds like all of you, given especially that this has been under consideration for several months. You've prioritized it yourself in your own work plan. Doesn't sound like it'd be unreasonable by the end of the summer, by August, to hold a vote on this proposition. Am I reading it right?
I think some people were answering holding a vote by May 8th and now at the end of the summer. So I'm committed to holding a vote as soon as staff can get to it and we have all of the research we need. Okay. So in a timely fashion, absolutely.
So as soon as May 8th and no later than the end of August. Does that sound reasonable to everyone?
It does, yeah.
Others agree? And you're fine on the research?
Yes.
Great. Thank you all. I want to thank you, each of you, for your attention and your responses.
We're going to pass it back to M now. M is going to lead us through.
Okay, yeah. First, I'm just going to give any of y'all an opportunity to clarify some of the answers. So yeah, do any of y'all want to clarify your answers to that with the mic that Chris has? Deputy Mayor Cunningham, so.
Yeah, I think we can have the work session and see if we can schedule a vote by the end of summer, which might be slightly longer than August, but by September 21st.
Sounds good. Y'all hearing a yes? Sort of. Commissioner Pomeroy?
I don't think I have in control, but I do my best. So thank you.
Yeah. And I think for all of these, it's like pushing what's in your power. You know what I mean? Yeah. Cool. And then Commissioner Magic, you were yes for research, right? Cool. Sounds good. Okay. And I'm going to invite Joey actually just to say a few words about, there was like kind of some back and forth with like just clarity about the research bit. So I'm going to ask Joey to clarify.
Yeah, and it'll be partly kind of setting it up for you guys to explain as someone who's been talking with you guys about what the research is at right now. Our understanding is it's not on a ban, so to speak. It's more, the research that started is the affirmative commitment from host sites, compliance-related questions, making Airbnb, you know, if requiring folks to have a business license and then reporting that to the city to help with regulating, to help with compliance, to help with getting an accurate picture. Is that feel, I just want to get into, like, what exactly is the disagreement about research has happened, what hasn't happened?
I think just for clarity, when we have a work session, which we're planning to do around short-term rentals, staff never come to those work sessions without options for the commission to consider, without having done their homework and research. So when we tell the staff we want to have a conversation around short-term rental policies, and we specifically tell them we want that to include an analysis of type 3 bans, they're doing all sorts of research to get us to that point. Just because it's not published and available in email form doesn't mean that the staff isn't working on that to prepare for a work session that we have on our calendar. So I think that's a little bit of maybe the uncertainty or not clarity, but it has happened. And I just wanted to just take 1 second to do this because it feels really important to me as someone who's worked on this team for the past year and a half, that in my memory and my time watching the Hozman City Commission in my time, there has not been a commissioner who's done more for affordable housing than your current deputy mayor. So we can have disagreements and different critiques about anything, but I just want that to be known and to be clear that that is just, that's just fact.
Can I add just one thing? One of the things that I believe we're going to direct staff to do is this problem is not unique to Bozeman. Other communities with a lot of resources have checked into it and have come up with different strategies. I think one of the things we're going to direct them to do as part of the research is to say, what have peer communities done? Has it worked? And what should we be doing? So that's part of the research as well.
All right, let's all take a deep breath. We got some tension, but also I think we got a lot more clarity than we usually get on some of these things, and that's really useful. I want to thank Commissioner Cunningham for the efforts that you have done at this point for affordable housing and the other commissioners. And I think what we're here to say is that when you are a renter feeling the pinch, you don't have time. You don't have time to wait for research that is just about regulation. You don't have time to wait for people to drag your feet. When you feel this crisis, you need to move on it. And what we're trying to say here is that y'all still have time to be our champions, but we need you to move with the urgency and the fire that we feel every day, right? To summarize, it looks like across the board on everything we've asked, everyone has committed to directing the city staff to research a full-out, Jeff Mihalik, I'm talking to you, research a full-out ban on type 3, type 2, and the subsidy. Got it? Okay, cool. Y'all make sure he does that. We are really stoked for the support on the type 3 ban that we heard from Commissioner Coburn and Commissioner Magic. And I just want to reiterate, and also for a lot of the support on the subsidy, I just want to acknowledge that it seems like there's disagreements about where the money should come from or which government entity should do it. I think it'd be great if the state does it, but let's remember the power that y'all have. Let's remember the power that y'all have in this room, in this city, to change things, right? So, Bozeman Tenants United is sticking around. We are going to hold you accountable to the things you said you'd do, and we want to remind you all that at any moment, you can continue to push, you can fight, you can be our champion, and we'll be at your back if you decide to champion this. And if you don't, we're going to come and make sure we get heard. All right? Cool. So this sheet that y'all have the opportunity to fill out and give to the ushers at the end have a few asks and a few opportunities for y'all to continue to stay involved, because this fight is pretty far from over. The first thing is about if the commission does not initiate a research process by February 28th, it says, I pledge to join the following city commission on Tuesday, March 7th at 7 p.m. with Bozeman Tenants United to demand action from the city commission. So if you're like, all right, I'm down to hold the commissioners accountable to initiate this research process, show up. Commit to showing up, and we'll reach out with reminders for you. 6 p.m. So if you check that box, we're going to reach out and remind you. We'll remind you that it's 6 p.m. Thank you. The second thing is, if you're like, I'm interested in learning more about Bozeman Tenants United, I'm interested in organizing for my own stake with you all, I will attend an orientation training for new members on Sunday, March 4th from 10:30 to 1 p.m. Location TBD. But sign that if you're just like, I'm ready to get involved, I want to see what's going on, I want to get trained up, let's go. The third thing is if you're interested in becoming a dues-paying member with Bozeman Tenants United. Our members, we participate in major campaign moments like this one.
We vote on electoral endorsements. We pay monthly dues, and we support each other through mutual aid. You can see listed below the community agreements that we agree to, that you'd be agreeing to if you become a member. So this is for tenants paying rent. This is for bank tenants paying off a mortgage. This is people who live in trailers or people who unhoused. We think of you as a part of the tenants class, and we're stoked to organize with you. So you're welcome to sign up. And because we pay a dues-paying membership, information on how to pay those dues are right there at the bottom as well. So y'all can start filling that out. And then I am going to turn it over to Terry Cunningham to put us on a break, to give you guys some time to go over to the room where you will take some public comment.
Thank you, Em. So as mentioned, this is two things happening at once. It is a Bozeman Tenants Union town hall, but because there are a quorum of commissioners talking about a key priority, it's also a special commission meeting. Part of the special commission meeting is that the public has to have the right to participate and the right to know, and public comment is part of that. So we're going to go to the Emmett room. It is sort of out the door and to the right. We've got a sign on it as well. And that's an opportunity for anyone to give public comment. And we'll talk a little bit more about how public comment unfolds once we get there. So at this point, it's my understanding that there'll be a break. And in 5 or 10 minutes, we're going to reconvene in the Emmett room. Does that sound right, Em?
Y'all did awesome. Put it together for Amelia, Olive, and Phil. It's just us now. The commissioners are gone. Tonight was literally historic. The commissioners have never experienced that before. They have never experienced that level of accountability and truly having to face the people that they are elected to serve. So y'all did that. That's really cool. And I just want to end by sharing this quote from another dope tenants union across the country in Kansas City. And it's been resonating a lot with me. I just want to share it with you. Then we'll end. It said, "We consider what we feel inevitable. Rent increases, unfair leases, moldy bathrooms, luxury apartments replacing our childhood homes. Every week we say, none of this is inevitable, not if we organize. It's part proclamation, and part prayer. Some weeks we believe it. Some weeks we hope for it to be true, reminding ourselves that another world is possible if we're willing to fight for it. Our spirits transform when we exercise power, when we experience solidarity. Inevitability is ours to invent. So when I say tenants, you say power. Tenant.
Power.
Tenant.
Power.
When I say how's the, you say people. How's the?
People.
How's the?
All
right, y'all, that's all we got tonight.
Following the Tenant Town Hall meeting, KGVM volunteer Bob Wall spoke with two of the Bozeman Tenants United organizers about the event and about the organization's efforts to ban short-term rentals.
All right, we're here in the kind of the aftermath of the Bozeman Tenants United Town Hall meeting. And I'm here with, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Katie Fire Thunder.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for talking to me. Could you just give us a little bit of a quick background about your role in Bozeman Tenants United?
Definitely. Yeah, I am a leader with Bozeman Tenants United. I was on our strategy team when we were developing this campaign and looking at the different avenues we can go and address housing, and now continue to organize and help with the flourishing of now this campaign in action.
I thought it was an interesting discussion tonight, for sure, and personally, as I've thought about this issue, without having a lot of data, and I appreciate the fact that you guys have actually gathered some of the data about what the impact of short-term rentals is. So without having that data, it seemed to me that fairly obvious that that's a pretty significant factor in the consumption of housing resources here in Bozeman and in the Gallatin Valley. So the idea of doing some kind of a ban seemed pretty obvious to me, and It also, as I understand it, seems like that's maybe one of the few things that the city commission actually might have some authority to implement. I think a lot of the other possible solutions are probably going to require something from Helena. Is that pretty much what you guys, where you guys arrived at?
So a little bit. Our campaign, we decided to focus solely on our city, because I think what we heard a lot of was that we have a supermajority in Helena right now, and one that is predominantly landlords and property managers and developers. And so Helena and our state legislature, I truly feel, is not representatory of our city and many cities here in Bozeman. And so I think it's really hard to build power when we're not solely represented. And I think that also goes with our city. However, I think our city locally right now, they have a lot more say than I think they even sometimes give themselves credit for. And so we really want to focus on our city, on addressing citywide issues, which I also think Bozeman is a very different city than a lot of places here in Montana. Yeah. And I think anyone outside of Bozeman knows that. And even in Bozeman, people know that.
Yeah.
And so I think this is an issue that we're feeling in Bozeman, and I think in a lot of other communities. But really, it's really taken a stronghold on Bozeman and how we address housing, and kind of how I think Bozeman is turning into a place where we might be seeing other places in Montana turning into. And I think Bozeman has the opportunity to lead by example of, we will not let rich people who are coming in, who see this as an investment town or a place to just, yeah, make money off of. This is not a place for that. And our state is not a place for that. And so I think right now we're focusing on Bozeman just to set the tone. But I think long term, I really do see us taking over this state and really being able to bring more representatory government of tenants, and how our state views tenants, to our state. But I think right now it's really important to start here in Bozeman.
I think that seems very reasonable. Have you had an opportunity in the process of working on these, the campaign? I mean, it seems to me like one of the other places in the state that's probably, it's certainly different, but in terms of the outside money, the investment money having a significant impact would be maybe up in the Flathead. Do you know of similar groups that are operating there, and have you had interactions with them?
Yeah. So we're in constant contact with a lot of different organizations around the state, especially when it comes to the state legislature. I know there's organizations out in Kalispell and Flathead who are really focusing on the legislature right now. And then we're also, that's where we try to stay informed with them on the work that they're doing. And also they help us in being like, hey, the short-term rental bill is going through. Might want to keep an eye on that. And so we really are grateful for a lot of these allyship groups, along with Missoula Tenants Union, talking to them and helping and partner in whatever ways we can around the state.
I had one question about, kind of specifically about some of the line of questioning tonight and the that process, that trying to get the commissioners to agree to timely action. Mm-hmm. And I certainly agree with that. I was wondering if you might want to comment on, though, the question about whether they would support a ban, like the type, let's just talk about the type 3 ban, whether they would support the ban, and what you think of the response that it's not appropriate for me to say at this point in time before I've gotten all of the input from the research that's may or may not be going
Definitely.
On. I understand the frustration and the need to push on that. But just kind of what you feel about that response that I think at least a couple of the commissioners gave, that it's not appropriate for them at this point in time to say a definitive yes or no, that they think they should wait.
Yeah, I think that's a response we were not surprised to hear at all. That's what we've been hearing in conversation with them. It's what we hear a lot from our city commissioners. And I think, yeah, there was a lot of tension and a lot of heat, like, that people felt in that room. It felt very heavy during that questioning. And I think the reason that that felt so heavy is because they're used to kind of kicking the can down the line years and years in, all for nothing to have been done at the end. And I think our city commissioners feel that and see that and understand that frustration. And so this was the time where we say, hey, clear yes or no. Can you let us know what your actions are going to be? And we understand how city government works. We need the research. They need to go through their process of the research, ask for the research. They've asked, they're going to ask, they've continued to keep up with staff to keep asking. And I think that was a really good thing that came out of tonight was that we have a clear next step that the city is going to begin researching short-term rentals and what a ban on the short-term rentals would look like, type two, like second home short-term rentals, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we also heard a lot that we continue to hear from our city commissioners that there is a sense of fear that comes with the state legislature that we've talked about, that they want to make sure that this is researched after the session, want to make sure this is voted on and talked about after the session, end of summer, which I think is a totally understandable position to be in, because I think, and it wouldn't feel good for us to ignore that at all, but it's also, at what cost does our city government stop governing 90 days when the legislature is in process? And I think that's something that we really wanted to push them on more, to make sure that they knew that we need housing now. State legislature or not, we need housing now. People in Bozeman are feeling that, and this is a timely issue that needs to be addressed. And I continue to hope that I think the seriousness of this issue and address it in a timely manner.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm no master strategist, but when I was watching what you were working on and the tactic and that, it's a difficult thing. I understand their concern, certainly, but I also understand that the difficulty of accepting that answer, that we have to wait. And obviously a lot of people in the crowd were not happy with that answer because they're living the immediacy of this. Right. And so, you know, it's a tough problem, and trying to thread a path through it is difficult, but I did appreciate the fact that, you know, you pushed them on it. And I hope that helps to convey the sense of immediacy and the frustration and, you know, the problems that people are having. Not that I hope this is not something that they don't already understand, but just reinforcing it seems like a good idea.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think also what felt unique about the situation is that they are telling people in a room of hundreds of tenants that they are going to research this and that they're going to hold the city staff accountable, and that we're going to hold them accountable as well. And that also they said that they would look at the research and vote based off that. And we really hope they do that. And we also got commitments for how some of our commissioners will vote. So
I think
we have a good first step here in place, and hope to have continuous conversation with the commissioners going forward.
I have one more question that I hadn't really thought about very much until I was listening tonight and then starting to think about. Mm-hmm. If this did happen, and if the commission decided to ban, say, both type 3 and type 2 mm-hmm. short-term rentals, have you thought about what the potential next step might be? Because I do believe that I think that a lot of people believe that the short-term rentals are gobbling up the inventory. But as several of the testimonials tonight showed, there's also just an issue with renters and their morality, for lack of a more nuanced term, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the willingness of renters to do things that seem maybe almost unconscionable, with jacking up rates and doing everything they can to push long-time renters out so that they can jack up the rates and stuff. So if a short-term rental ban was passed, mm-hmm. have you thought about, or are you concerned about, if those things did convert into long-term rentals, do you have some ideas about where you would go next to try to prevent that from turning into just more of the same?
For sure. Yeah, I think that was where we were trying to go with the subsidy program. Because right now, short-term rentals, you can make so much more money doing short-term rentals than long-term rentals. And I think that's why a lot of people do it. And so we're hoping with the subsidy program that people are able to take, we're able to like have the city really help put people who were using short-term rentals to stay here in Bozeman, really give them a next step in, like, how can we help you convert this into a long-term rental without it being a complete day and night kind of thing, where people are probably going to lose like a lot of money from that. And so wanting to find a way to support local people who were using short-term rentals, but also finding a way to make sure that this doesn't just happen to developers who are continuing getting more money from the city. And I also think that when we were researching this, there was so many campaigns that we could have brought forward, right? There was so many different ways you can address housing here in Bozeman. And I think this is the first step in opening up available units here in Bozeman and stopping some of this really big investment properties and investment people coming into Bozeman. And I think that there's things we can do down the line and things we want to do down the line. Tenants' Right to Legal Counsel, fighting landlords who are doing these things. So it's just, this is like kind of our first step. And then as Bozeman continues to change and develop, like thinking about what do we do next? Because this is just the beginning. This is definitely not the end. I don't think this campaign definitely won't solve every issue that we have in Bozeman.
Yeah, I'm not a student of economics enough to know if all of these units that are being used as short-term rentals, if they did enter the market as long-term rentals, that would certainly provide some downward pressure on rental prices. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would be enough. And, you know, so I think that's maybe a thing that I'm curious about is kind of those next steps. What are ways to work on the price of rentals once there are some available to make sure that people that are buying up housing to turn it into short-term rentals don't buy it up to turn it into really expensive long-term rentals instead of affordable long-term rentals. Yeah. But I guess you have to take a step at a time. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think those are definitely important things that we want to address and hope to address. Yeah. I think that's definitely down the line thing.
So, yeah.
And yeah. Something, hopefully the more tenants we have coming in and more tenant power we have, we can start beginning to address those issues.
If you would be willing to say, how big is the organization now? Like in terms of people that are members of the union, I think there was a mention of about dues paying members. If you like, how big is the organization?
Yeah. Now? Prior to this town hall, we have about 150 dues paying members, and those are monthly dues that we collect. And they go right back into the tenants union. We provide mutual aid for our members and support. And some of those things that you mentioned prior about like landlord disputes and different things like that, because we hear those all the time, and our people can't do good work without being able to have housing and have good support and backup. So we really take into account those things. And so after this town hall, I think we have a lot more things coming through. And we kind of knew going into this, we were going to have more people coming in and people hearing about us and wanting to get involved. And so we have I'll have to get the exact date for you. We have we have a new member orientation for people coming in to hear about what is Bozeman Tenants United, what are we doing, and how they can get involved and begin fighting for housing here in Bozeman.
Great. Well, I want to thank you very much, not just for talking to me, but for your work. It's distressing. I've been here for quite a while, and man, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
And so I applaud people who haven't succumbed to the feeling of hopelessness that is so easy. I mean, because, you know, I'm sure for most renters, it feels like there's really nothing you can do. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we're just like, thank goodness that, you know, people haven't completely forgotten the idea that unions, they're the tool when you're in that situation.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, thank you so much for talking and coming here. I think there's a lot of people feel that hopelessness. And what keeps me going is every single person who came today. So thank you. Yeah, we're more powerful when we're all together.
Exactly.
So, yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Here's the second interview Bob Wall conducted with the organizer from Bozeman Tenants United following the town hall meeting on February 19th, 2023.
If you want to introduce yourself.
Sure. My name's Tia Goble, and I am a leader with Bozeman Tenants United.
Yeah, so we're here following the town hall meeting. It was a great turnout and a lot of positive energy. Mm-hmm. A lot of intensity, and I think that came out more than a couple times in the discussion, the comments from the crowd, and obviously, you know, sometimes I worry that people in the community, like people that aren't in the crunch, right? Mm-hmm. They're not in the mousetrap right now.
Yeah.
They understand that there's a problem, but maybe they don't have enough of a connection with people that are renting, that are, you know, experiencing this to understand just how serious it is and how how impactful it is to the people that it's affecting. So, yeah. You know, I think that definitely came out tonight.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good for people, for the community at large to remind themselves, if they're not connected enough, mm-hmm. maybe they can get a little more connected and understand, you know, how big a problem this is. So How did you feel that things went tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very mixed. I feel proud to be a tenant. I feel proud to have gathered with hundreds of tenants like me, or bank tenants, or people who just understand this issue and feel this issue deeply. And I take a lot of solace and a lot of hope in that. I also feel, I just want to echo what Lachelle said about this being historic. It feels historic. I've been to several city commission meetings and they don't go like that. So I feel like there's a lot of urgency around this issue. It's a real issue. People are mad. People have been hurt. People are hurt every day. And I think it's important that we remember that so that we can all do better on this issue.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear your take also on, you know, the question that was asked of the commissioners about committing to a vote. And we kind of talked previously about that and, you know, the response mm-hmm. that, well, we kind of want to, we're bound to follow the process and not to make a decision before we've heard all of the evidence, which, you know, I understand that in some regard, mm-hmm. but I also understand the desire to kind of, A, see if they will transcend that. Because there are certainly things that most people would say they have made a decision on already about different aspects of their lives. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. But then the question about like the timeline mm-hmm. and the concern that they expressed about not wanting to tip their hand maybe to the legislature wait until after that versus, you know, people wanting something done. So what was your feeling about that and the way that kind of played out?
Yeah. Well, we've been in conversation with the commissioners for many months on this issue, on these policies that we are wanting. And I think it is a completely reasonable and astute concern to be worried about what is happening at the state level right now. And I think it makes sense to not try and put a target on Bozeman's back if we take action on this. And the closing of the legislative session is not that far away.
Yeah.
Which feels like an opportune time to be looking at this issue. And also that's when the city will be looking at their budget for the next year. So I think that May, June timeline makes a lot of sense for pushing for research now and maybe waiting till a vote after the legislative session closes.
But hopefully try to push them to pull it in closer to the end of May than September, or, you know, I think there were some dates bandied about a little bit about like August and September because of the process and when the working group would do this and that.
So yeah.
You're hoping to maybe understand the reasoning for the May deadline, but try to maybe pull it in so that it's not a long time after that.
Yeah. So the mayor has the power to set the agenda and, you know, I do frankly believe there is more that the city commission could be doing to make this a priority. And we just wanted to make that clear tonight because we know that bureaucracy moves slowly. We know that even if they voted on something, there's, you know, there's policy, there's regulation, there's the follow through, right? And so, you know, we know that this is going to be a long process. We know that this is going to be a long fight. We know that we're going to have to hold them accountable to whatever they agree to, but we need this to happen as soon as possible. But understand not trying to put a target on Bozeman's back at the state level.
Did you get the feeling that the meeting tonight was at least somewhat effective in conveying that sense of urgency to the commissioners?
It's hard to say. I was honestly surprised by the pushback from Deputy Mayor Cunningham. It's been great to see the things that he's been doing on affordable housing. And so I was frankly surprised to see as much pushback on this as we saw tonight. And, you know, this is a long conversation. What I'm more excited about is how many people showed up, how many more people are educated on this issue? How many people pledge to maybe go to Helena if we need to? And how much money, right, we're going to raise, and how many people we're going to organize, and how much money we're going to organize through tenant power to stay in this fight for the long haul.
So you were happy with the, like, the pledge card responses and stuff were good?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just excited by, you know, the people I talked to, the stories I heard, the engagement from the crowd. That is, like, one of the more engaged crowds that I've been around in a long time, besides maybe, like, a sports game. Like, exactly. You know, like, people were cheering and people could express themselves. And I think that's really important when you have so much emotion and so much story tied up in, you know, this is your lived experience, to be able to express that. I mean, we're human beings.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to be human beings together, even if that means things were uncomfortable and we're angry and, you know, things were tough. But I believe that, you know, some of those things also bring us closer together.
Well, and I think just kudos to the crowd. This is, for a lot of the crowd, about as intensely personal an issue as it can be, really. Mm-hmm. And so I understand being angry, and I was actually pretty surprised at how respectful they were. You know, some people expressed a little bit of dismay or maybe a little bit of disagreement, but I think they did it, for the most part, in a pretty respectful way. Mm-hmm. They were restrained without being subdued. Mm-hmm. I thought. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, I think that's great when people, they understand that even if it's a really emotional issue, mm-hmm. getting too emotional sometimes prevents progress instead of pushing it. So it felt like, to me, a really mm-hmm. good balance tonight. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think it's important to have that public discourse, right? And to have that conversation and be open to building relationships. We don't want to tear bridges down. We want to build them, right? So, you know, but that takes honesty. Yeah. And it's like, man, we need to be honest with each other. So, you know, I'm encouraged by the honesty. I'm encouraged by the hope. I'm encouraged by the momentum. And I hope that we can, be honest with each other.
Yeah. I thought it was great, the tool of recording everything, giving everyone that responded a chance to mm-hmm. see if they agreed about with mm-hmm. with the characterizations and everything, but just making sure that it was clear with them and with the crowd.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I hadn't seen that done. I'm sure that wasn't new to this meeting, but I hadn't seen it done in quite that way, and it seemed like it worked really well. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just, we want to be accountable, right? Like, we want to be accountable leaders in this movement, and we want elected officials who are also going to be accountable to what they say. And I understand that things do change, but we should have to back up and explain our reasoning behind right. these decisions that impact literally tens and tens of thousands of people. Like, we should have to explain and think through, you know, why we make the decisions we do. So. Yeah. Yeah, so for those who weren't here, there was like a board, and for each question went through like a red or a green piece of paper recording everyone's stances on each issue.
And people in the crowd had red and green paddles to see mm-hmm. whether the crowd understood that the answer was a yes and no or mm-hmm. somewhere not.
Or in the middle.
In the middle. So yeah, I think that was great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me and for mm-hmm. the work that you're doing. I mean, it's probably, I see commentary about like the most important issues and stuff, and mm-hmm. Property taxes, certainly the legislature seems to be hyper-focused on those right now. And mm-hmm. and I own property, and it's mm-hmm. a thing, but mm-hmm. I've lived here for a long time, and that pales in comparison, I think, to the issue of the cost of living here, and mm-hmm. especially for people who are renting. And so I just thank all of you for putting so much work into trying to do something about mm-hmm. a problem that's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. And as organizers, we have a saying. We say that you don't have to thank us, because we do this because we have to. And so while I love gratitude and while the thanks are so appreciated, I say thank you all the time. I've also learned that as an organizer, that we're doing this because we have to and we don't feel like there is another choice. So, yeah, I really appreciate that, though. I feel the gratitude.
All right. That concludes KGVM's coverage of the town hall meeting held by Bozeman Tenants United at Pilgrim Church in Bozeman on Sunday, February 19th of 2023. The recording is also available on the KGVM.org website for anyone to listen to at any time.